Well, Deborah, are we ready to go?
I think so.
You want to start reading?
Okay, I will. So I'm going to start with your text, Volume 1, Text, Chapter 1, Introduction to Miracles. It is crucial to say first that this is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you establish the curriculum. It means only that you can elect what to take when. It is just because you are not ready to do what you should elect to do that time exists at all. You will see miracles through your hands, through me. You should begin each day with the prayer, "Help me to perform whatever miracles you want of me today." Thanks for turning that light on.
You're welcome. I thought you might have a bit of trouble reading without it. That's a really interesting line there. In brackets in the air text, "You will see miracles through your hands, through me." That line is actually the first line in the shorthand notes, and it recurs in the air text. Let me just find it here. I suppose I should have looked that up, right? In T1B 23K, still in Chapter 1, but later on in Chapter 1, "I repeat that you will see miracles through your hands, through mine." This line is not accidental. It's not a personal comment. It's a theme, and the course is concluded in the gifts of God with the same theme. "You will see miracles through your hands, through mine." And the me in mine here, of course, is Jesus. And he is the medium, or the intermediary, between what would it be? It would be the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The mediator between man and God, in essence. All right.
So, Doug, what exactly does that mean to you? "You will see miracles through your hands, through me." Yeah, what's with the hands?
Well, the image of hands is used, and it shows up in Gifts of God rather dramatically at the end, as from one hand to another hand. So the hand is handing off, handing to, a kind of conduit. I can look up that Gifts of God bit pretty quickly, because it's right at the end, which makes it fairly easy to find. "But you will hold my hand as you return, because we come together." There's that hand-holding theme. "The gifts of God are in my hands to give to anyone who would exchange the world for heaven. And ask me to accept the gift of pain from willing hands that would be laid in mine." The hand here is a communication device. You see, in all these uses of it, from one hand to another. "In my hands is everything you want and need and hope to find among the shabby toys of earth."
I struggle with it, you know.
"Each hand that finds its way to mine will take your gifts from me as we look together on the place whereon I laid your worthless gifts for you." Da, 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 da. But again, the hand is the... there's a transaction happening here, one hand to another. "Now into your hands we give again the Spirit."
Oh, through your action, through me?
In essence, yes.
Okay.
But you cannot go past that first dream without a Savior's hand in yours. It's a connection.
Yeah.
Okay, hands, holding hands and handing from one brother to another brother. And from Jesus saying, "Me to you." And towards the end here...
So you receive, you pass on. You receive from Jesus, you pass on to your brother.
"Put out your hand to touch eternity." the joy of heaven and the holy peace of earth return to Christ and from his hand to me. This is the concluding portion in the gifts of God, where the first person voice becomes that of God himself. I am here, for I am you, in Christ, for Christ, my own beloved Son, the glory of the infinite, the joy of heaven, and the holy peace of earth, returned to Christ. What?
Should we go on?
You interrupted the best quote in the whole course.
I know. I'm trying to keep us from getting distracted.
But this is a really important, important element. Now, where was I?
Boy, the power of interruption.
The holy peace of earth. Now, notice God is speaking here, and the language becomes the holy peace of earth. We've been talking about the peace of God when Jesus is talking to people. When there's people talking, we talk about the peace of God. When God is talking, it's the peace of earth returned to Christ from Christ's hand to me.
Mm.
See the circle where God extends, and the peace of earth, which is the peace of God given to earth, is returned to God. The circle is completed through Christ's hand to me.
Mm-hmm.
This image, you will see miracles through your hand through me, is a central unifying theme throughout A Course in Miracles. From the original beginning in the shorthand notes, which was edited out of every subsequent version and moved only though in the urtext, it's still there, but it's no longer the first. And the concluding lines of the gift of God again harken back to this opening metaphor, which is used repeatedly through the course. This is why I think it's really important to take a look at this particular line as one of the most important lines in the course, and one of the reasons why I have so many questions about what was going through the heads of the editors and any possibility of genuine inspiration to take out what was clearly put in by Jesus as the opening line, and what is also the concluding line in the course, and repeated numerous times in the body of the text. This theme is returned to this whole great circle of the love of God coming down to earth and achieving the peace of earth, the real world in essence, which is returned to God through Christ, with this hand-to-hand and hand-holding metaphor used as a poetic device to communicate that notion.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's an immediately calling forth and a drawing in for the recipient or the reader to be an active part. So you're in
mirror your hands. So that's my hand. Through mine, through Jesus' hands, conveying, or as the conduit of God's love through Jesus, through me, to you.
Mm-hmm.
And back again.
Right.
I mean, this is a two-way street. This is not a one-way street. This is full duplex salvation. This is love in both directions. Okay, you want to continue reading with the principles of miracles?
Okay, so principles of miracles. The first thing to remember about miracles is that there is no order of difficulty among them. One is not harder or bigger than the other, or than another. They are all the same. 2. Miracles do not matter. They are quite unimportant. 3. They occur naturally as an expression of love. The real miracle is the love that inspires them. In this sense, everything that comes from love is a miracle. 3a. This explains the first point related to the lack of order. All expressions of love are maximal. 3b. This is why the thing in itself does not matter.
What Deborah's reading there has an error in the numbering. What she said was 3 is 3a. What she said was 3a is 3b. This was an early copy of the course we're working with, which had some typos that got corrected later. This is a proof copy, not a publication copy.
Ah,
So,
is there much of that in here?
there's only three or four instances of that throughout. Just section three here, once you get to four, you're okay, I
Okay.
think.
So to clarify that, we have 3 and 3a are 3. Is that right?
Well, what you read as what you read as 3 is 3a. See, what I did is I forgot to put the a on number 3. And I started the ABC on the second instead of the first.
All right,
so you
right.
just
okay.
go up one letter. And I think I did that in section... No, 4 is okay. Section 4 is fine. It's just section 3 that screwed up.
Okay. So... I just have to move it down each one. So now I'm saying for 3C, I'm saying 3D.
Yes.
Okay. Is that where I ended? Yeah. I'm now doing 3C rather than 3B.
This is why the thing itself?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. This is why the thing in itself does not matter. The only thing that matters is the source. And this is far from beyond human evaluation.
It's far beyond human evaluation.
Okay. I'm having a real difficult time seeing the light. Is there another light?
Oh, we can get more light.
Okay. I'm struggling here.
I thought that would have been enough.
Oh, that's better. Okay. And if that doesn't help, then we'll just blame it on my reading ability.
Do you need another set of reading glasses?
No, it's okay right
you
now.
You seem to be holding it so far away.
That's what I need to do. Okay. So three...
You need higher make glasses.
I'll see what happens. 3D. Doug is up and scurrying about, and I'm not sure what he's doing, so I'm waiting. Plus, I have a question on this that I need to ask Doug when he gets back here. The scurrying Doug. Doug, Q and A, question and answer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Q&A, first 3 points. Question. Holy Spirit, would you regard
Helen
this...
Shuckman.
Or Helen Shuckman. Okay, that's... Okay, is it Helen Shuckman in brackets in this?
When we see a bracket HS, that's Helen referring to herself. She doesn't use the short form HS for Holy Spirit. She writes it all out.
Okay. That's the way it is through here, mm-hmm. Holy Spirit? Okay.
That's her pattern. And that should be footnoted to make that clear, because the reason I didn't is because I know it. And it didn't occur to me that it could be misinterpreted. Yes, a lot of people use HS as an abbreviation for Holy Spirit, so yeah.
So when I'm reading this, then I will just insert Helen instead of HS? Or
yeah.
Should I just say
yeah.
HS? This is going to be confusing
Helen.
To the readers. Okay. Helen, would you regard this communication as a kind of miracle? Answer, there is nothing special or surprising about this at all. The one thing that happened was the universal miracle, which was the experience of intense love that you have felt. Don't get embarrassed by the idea of love. Embarrassment is only a form of fear, and actually a particularly dangerous form because it reflects egocentricity. 3E. Do not feel guilty about the fact that you are doubting this. Helen's doubting. Just reread them and their truth will come to you. I love you and I am not afraid or embarrassed or doubtful. My strength will support you, and don't worry and leave the rest to me. But when you see Bill, be sure you tell him how much he helped you through by giving you the right message, and don't bother with worrying about how you received it. That doesn't matter either. You were just afraid. I love these personal.
It just adds. It's like the difference between a black and white photograph and a full color movie with sound. It puts you into the room with Helen, overhearing the conversation she's having with Jesus, essentially as a sidebar, as the course is being dictated. And you can tell which is which.
Mm-hmm.
When Helen's asking a question or Jesus is speaking specifically to Helen versus when he's dictating the principles of miracles. The back and forth is obvious to the reader, and you become part of the process. That might be easier for you to read with. Part of the process, I think one at a time.
No. Okay.
Work
no.
with both.
That feeling comes through. The whole tempo of emotion is coming through. It starts to shift inside me anyways. as Holy Spirit is responding or Jesus is responding, it's just...
Well, the clarity that comes through with that additional information, as I say, it's in reading this material as compared even with the HLC abridgment, it's instead of getting a little sip, I'm getting the full the full experience.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of a black and white still photo, I feel like I'm standing there in the room,
mm-hmm.
and hearing the dialogue that's going on between the two.
Right.
And you can feel Helen's concerns. You can see Jesus' compassion in his response to her concerns. You don't need to be afraid. I love you.
And I feel like he's speaking directly to me,
yeah.
except for the very personal stuff he's delivering to Helen, but still that voice is coming very clear
inside. It's generalizable, and the editing instructions were to take out anything that related to a specific relationship and that was not of generalizable value. And there's stuff in there where Helen is being told what doctor to go to for a flu shot, I think, at one point. And... you know, this is very specific. It's not generalizable. Those instructions don't apply to me.
Mm-hmm.
That properly is removed. These instructions do apply to me. I mean, that properly is retained.
It helps to engage all of me into this process. So it helps my ego to come into this in a different way and especially not resist.
It gets over the ego resistance, because ego resistance is based on fear. You know, fear only comes from the ego. Only the ego can experience fear.
Yeah.
All fear is ego. And in these gentle statements of reassurance to Helen, as Helen's expressing her fears and her uncertainties and her doubts, my ego relaxes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's okay for Helen. Didn't kill her. So... you know, we'll stand back and let this go at least another paragraph.
Yeah,
it does that to the ego. You're right. That's very, very, very perceptive, Deborah.
It's sweet.
We have here a footnote also. up in paragraph 3C, the thing in itself does not matter. The only thing that matters is the source, and this is far beyond human evaluation. Now, what is the thing in itself? The thing in itself, I'm just going to read that footnote because it probably explains it better than I can do off the top of my head. The thing in itself is a term used in philosophy to refer to a noumenon, which is a distinct form of phenomenon, in that while a phenomenon is sensed and experienced, the notion of noumenon refers to an abstract essence or Platonic ideal independent of sensory perception. So the thing in itself is an idea of an essence of a thing, quite aside from what you can feel, touch, see, or hear, that there is something absolute in essence. And this is a philosophical concept that Helen would have been familiar with and displays familiarity with later. So he's addressing a particular idea of Helen's here. And this may be so personalized that without a footnote, if you're not a philosopher, you would entirely miss the meaning
of
what's going.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the footnote. A phenomenon is that which is perceived. A noumenon is the actual object that emits the phenomenon in question. So the idea of human evaluation is central to the distinction with noumena being generally thought of as beyond what can be known by reason or experience. This paragraph certainly appears to be a reference to this philosophical question, perhaps a reference to Immanuel Kant's Critique of Pure Reason, in which the means by which knowledge is obtained, ordered, and evaluated are extensively explored. This distinction between the noumenon, or thing in itself, and the cause, or source, is made here in the course and is one which Kant's work also addresses. So that's that particular issue.